एते देवः कला विष्णुः कालमायांश्च लिङ्गिनः नानात्वात् स्वक्रियानीशः प्रोच्युः प्राञ्जलयो विभुम्। Translation: the controlling deities of all the above mentioned physical elements are empowered expansions of Lord Vishnu. They are embedded by the eternal time under the external energy, and they are his parts and parcels. Because they were entrusted with the different functions of the universal duties and were unable to perform them, they offered fascinating prayers to the Lord as follows. The conception of a various controlling demigods who inhabit the higher planetary system for the management of the universal affairs is not imaginary, as proposed by the persons with the poor fund of knowledge. So here, the argument about poor fund of knowledge people, they put forward sometimes that there's nothing like demigods. These are just imaginations or mythology. You can't find a person who is like a fire. Because most of the people, they don't know about the four defects that we are carrying. And most of our knowledge that we gather in this material world, it depends upon our senses and their perception. But these senses itself are imperfect. We need some media through which we can gather knowledge, not directly by the senses. Like everyone has a ear, but the hearing capacity is not with everyone. That is also controlled by some demigod. Vision, seeing. You may have eyes. There may be a light, but if you don't have that drishti, how you can see the things? Even touch. If you are put into the air, put into the room where it is totally, what we can say, empty, no air, nothing inside, you will not feel anything there. Because to have the touch sensation, you need to have the presence of air. Then only you can feel. Otherwise not. So, by this imperfect senses, how is it possible to get the knowledge about things which are transcendental to this material nature? And that's why most of the people with a poor fund of knowledge, they think that there are no things or personalities like a demigods. Everything is just created by the energy. Energy means it should belongs to someone. It belongs to some energy. And who is that? And that has explained here. First of all, the creation of material elements has explained. From subtle to gross. In the subtle form they are panch tanmatras, and the gross form they are five elements. Pancha Mahabhuta. Through which and combination of them creates the different objects in this material world. And they are controlled by demigods. They have predominating controlling demigods, as it says. Ete Devaha Kala Vishnu. And all these demigods are Kala, expansions of the Supreme Personality of a God. Sometimes in our institute we see most of the people, practicing devotional service, call themselves as a devotee. But they forget that we should respect everyone. They do respect temple president, they do respect some senior brahmachari or some senior sadhaka. But they condemn demigods. That is also an offense. As explained here, they are entrusted by the Lord with the different functions for this universal management. At least you should have that courtesy. You should don't just deny their existence or don't condemn them. They are not ordinary living entities. They are empowered by the Lord. So at least show some respect to them. Like, I do respect ZBCs, but I don't respect president. Does that matter? Is that the proper way to deal with? If I respect the JBCs, then I should respect the representative given by them. So if you respect their lordship, you offered your devotion to the Lord, so you should respect the people who are empowered by him. And if you don't do that, do you think that Lord will accept what you are doing? It will not happen. Like, if you want to please some higher authorities, you have to go through the hierarchy. Then only you can approach that person. So same way, the respect should be shown from down to up, not only at the top. Then that person is considered as a Kanishtha. He comes to the temple, see the deities and have only reciprocation with the deity. Forget about the others. In a way, for him, others doesn't exist. So that will not help us to progress in our spiritual life. And that's why Prabhupada has very clearly explained about the position of demigods. The demigods are expanded parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. And they are embodied by the time, external energy and partial consciousness of the Supreme. Human beings, animals, birds, etc. are also parts and parcels of the Lord and have a different material bodies. But they are not the controlling deities of material affairs. Again, he is making it clear why demigods are superior. Because they are the controlling deities of material affairs. We are not. We are controlled by them. See, each and every function of our body depends upon their control. Like Prabhupada used to give example. Even if to pass stool, you need to have a favor of Mitradev. He is controlling deity of evacuation. If it is not placed, you will have a diarrhea. So everything in our body is controlled by a particular demigod. So we should be more showing our gratitude towards them. Otherwise, you are not able to perform your own bodily functions. Then further, they are rather controlled by such a demigod. Such a control is not a superfluous. It is necessary as the controlling departments in the affairs of the modern state. The demigod should not be despised by the controlled living beings. They are all great devotees of the Lord, entrusted to execute certain functions of universal affairs. Again, making it clear. They are all great devotees of the Lord, entrusted to execute certain functions of universal affairs. And that's why in Jagannath temple you will find tons of small temples of different varieties of demigods. They are there. And they are worshipped by the devotees. One may be angry with Yamaraj for his thankless task of punishing sinful souls. But Yamaraj is one of the authorized devotees of the Lord, and so are all other demigods. A devotee of the Lord is never controlled by such a deputed demigods, who function as the assistants of the Lord. But he shows them all respect on account of the responsible position to which they have been appointed by the Lord. At the same time, a devotee of the Lord does not foolishly mistake them to the Supreme Lord. Only foolish person accept the demigods as a being on the same level as a Vishnu. Actually, they are all appointed as servants of Vishnu. So that's the proper understanding about the demigods and their position, that they are the eternal servants of the Lord and entrusted and empowered by the Lord for the some material function. Anyone who places the Lord and the demigods on the same level is called Pashandi or the atheist. That's the first Nama Prad, as explained in the Padma Purana. The demigods are worshipped by the persons who are more or less adherents to the process of jnana, yoga and karma. That is the impersonalist, mediators and the fruitive workers. The devotees, however, worship only the Supreme Lord Vishnu. This worship is not for any material benefit, as desired by all the materialists, even up to the salvations, mystics and the fruitive workers. Devotees worship the Supreme Lord to attain unalloyed devotion to the Lord. The Lord, however, is not worshipped by others who have no program for attaining love of God, which is the essential aim of human life. Persons averse to a loving relationship with God are more or less condemned by their own actions. So here again, difference between the devotees and the demigod worshippers, as explained. Mostly the jnanis, karmis and yogis, they worship demigods because alpamid saha, the less intelligent people who have desire other than the love of Godhead, they worship only demigods. And devotees worship Supreme Lord to attain unalloyed devotion to Him. So that's the main difference between the demigod worshippers and worshippers of the Lordship, whom we call as the devotees. But mass of people, they are more interested in material things and benefits rather than rendering service to the Lord. And they are condemned here actually, because they don't know the higher purpose of their lives. Further, Prabhupada says, the Lord is equal to every living entity, just like the flowing Ganga. The water of Ganga is meant for the purification of everyone. It, the trees on the banks of the Ganga have different values. A mango tree on the bank of the Ganga drinks the water, and the neem tree also drink the same water. But the fruits of both trees are different. One is celestially sweet and another is hellishly bitter. The condemned bitterness of the neem is due to its own past work, just as the sweetness of a mango is also due to its own work. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter, 19th verse, Tan aham dvishataha kruran samsareshu naradhaman kshipamya ajastram ashubham asurishva eva yonishu. The envious, the mischievous, the lowest of mankind, these
do I ever but back into the ocean of the material existence, into the various demonic species of life. Demigod like say Yamraj and other controllers are therefore unwanted conditioned souls who always engaged in threatening the tranquility of the kingdom of God. Since all the demigods are confidential devotees, servitors of the Lord, they are never to be condemned. So the main theme of this purport is that we should understand the positions of demigods as they are confidential devotee servitors of the Lord, and one should not condemn them. That is also again a Vaishnava plan, because they are personally entrusted by the Lord for universal functions. So we should respect the Lord's deputation and we should not condemn them. Then further, these demigods who are the presiding or controlling deities of all these elements, now they are offering prayers to the Lord, and that starts from the text 39. Namamti deva padaravindam prapannatapo pashamat patram yanmulaketayatayo anjasoru sansara dukham bahirurt kshipanti. The demigod says, O Lord, your lotus feet are like an umbrellas for the surrendered souls, protecting them from all the miseries of material existence. All the sages under that shelter throw off all material miseries. We therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto your lotus feet. So now the glory of Lord's lotus feet has explained here in this verse by these controlling deities. They say, whoever has taken shelter at your lotus feet, his lotus feet are just like an umbrella for them, who has given them shelter. There are many sages and saints who engage in trying to conquer rebirth and all other material miseries. But of all of them, those who take shelter under the lotus feet of the Lord can completely throw off all such miseries without difficulty. As Lord has explained in the Bhagavad Gita, the final chapter, text 66, that Sarva Dharmana Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Rajahun Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshishyami Mashuchaha. Just give up everything and surrender unto me, and I will take care of everything. That's what shelter or umbrella that Lord has provided. And many sages and saints, they have taken that shelter. And looking at their lifestyle and their character, we can understand that they are never carried away by the miseries of this material world, because these miseries are already taken away by the Lord when they have taken shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. Further, Prabhupada says that others who are engaged in the transcendental activities in a different ways cannot do so. For them it is very difficult. They may artificially think of becoming liberated without accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, but that is not possible. Most of the karmis and gyanis, they try to get liberated with the help of knowledge, austerities, or different vratas were following that. But unless and until one takes shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, it's very difficult to cross the ocean of this material Nisaya. One is sure to fall down again to the material existence from such a false liberation. What such words? Yanne arvindaksha vimuktamaninas. Pai asad bhavat avishuddha buddhayah. Arujya krichena parampadam yatha patanti adhanat rute yushmada pada angraye. I think it comes in this, further in this only. This canto. Where it is explained that the people who are karmis and gyanis, they take shelter of a jnana, knowledge, Vedic studies. But if they don't take shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, it is said that patanti adaha, they fall down to this material world again, and there is no guarantee to sustain at that particular position. Should I stop? It looks like nobody is caring about. He is in his busy with mobile thing, he is reading, you are looking somewhere else. But when I read it, no need to you read it, you should listen. Afterward, before class or after class, you can sit and read. Otherwise, then it's better that everyone should read only. The person who is speaking, you are not looking at him at all. What's the use then?
You are telling to take, I am also same text and same content and same, I am also focusing. I am not seeing Facebook or anything.
I am not saying that, looking at Facebook. When you are in a Bhagavatam class, when you are hearing, just hear. You can read afterward. You have a whole day.
Okay. You are going through, we cannot that smart to listen that thing, and you have to see at that time why you are.
I'm reading and explaining that lines. It's not that I'm continuously just newspaper like I'm reading that. Every day I'm just seeing that. If you're not interested, I'm not giving class. You sit, people sit and read only then. After class, every time ask, if you don't have understood, let's discuss. It's important topic, you need to understand. And hearing is the way where you can make it understand. If by reading only you can understand, then there is no need of having classes. All you have studied in the schools and colleges, when lecturer was giving lecture, you never used to read or make a notes in the paper. One is sure to fall again to material existence from such a false liberation. Even though one may have undergone severe penances and austerities. This is opinions of the demigods, who are not only well versed in the Vedic knowledge, but are also seers of the past, present and future. The opinions of the demigods are valuable because the demigods are authorized to hold position in the affair of universal management. They are appointed by the Lord as his confidential servants. So again, we have to understand why we have to respect these demigods. Because they are the seer. Just metaphysically, if you want to understand that demigods, how long they live? Like each Brahma's days had 14 manvantaras. Each manvantara has a 71 and point something Divya Yugas. So that many thousands of years, one demigod lives. So at least with the lifespan, if you consider, they are quite far senior to us. And that way we can understand they are the seer, because they know the past, they know the future, and they know the present as compared to our life. So at least we should honor their views, because they are entrusted by the Lord and empowered by Him to render services in this material world. Such a person is saying that, so we should value that thing. And that's where his prayers rendered by these demigods, they are most important. And see how wonderfully they has explained that the person who takes shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, definitely he throws away all the miseries of this material world. It's not that possible that sometimes we see in this world, especially in this modern age, so-called modern, where they are trying so many different means for getting happiness, to get rid of the miseries of this material world. But how one can get rid of miseries of this material world? The demigods who are controlling everything in the material world, who are giving either suffering or happiness as per our karma, they are telling you now, if you really want to get free from all miseries, just take shelter at the lotus feet of Lord. They never say that take shelter of mine, come to me. No, they say, oh my Lord, whoever takes shelter at your lotus feet, that person gets totally free from the miseries of material world. So the whole culmination of all the incidents in Srimad Bhagavatam and the prayers and the conversation is that everyone has to take shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord if you desire to get rid of your miseries. Whatever kind of miseries it may be the physical pain, maybe the mental agony, maybe the intellectual discrepancies, everything will get nullified just by taking shelter at the lotus feet of Lord. That's very important. And then in the next shloka, this says, Dhatar yadyasmin bhavai shachivas tapatrayena bihatan nasharma atman lavante Bhagavan stavangrish chaya savidya mat ashrayema. Now they are calling their lordship as a dhataha. Dhata means father. O father, O Lord, O personality of a Godhead. Dhata bhava Isha Jivaha. The living entities in the material world can never have any happiness because they are overwhelmed by the three kinds of miseries. Tapastrayena Abhitana Sharma. Therefore, they take shelter of the shed of your lotus feet, which are full of knowledge. And we also thus take shelter of them. Tavangri Chaya. In the previous verse, they have compared Lord's lotus feet with umbrella. Generally, umbrella protects us from scorching heat and rain. This material world is always considered either as a davanal, a forest fire, or ocean, which is very difficult to grass. In some other place in Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord's lotus feet are considered as a boat. By taking shelter of that boat, one can cross over this ocean of material existence. And here it is said, the person who takes shelter of your lotus feet is get shaded by your lotus feet from what? Tapastrayena, threefold miseries of this material world. Adidaivika, Adibhautika, Adhyatmika. These three tapas are there. And one gets shelter by the lotus feet of the Lord, then this tapastraya never works on him. These threefold miseries, they never felt by that person. Even though they are there, it's not that they go away. But because of the shade that they have taken under the lotus feet of the Lord, that chaya itself protect them from the effect of these three miseries. The way of devotional service is neither sentimental nor mundane. So it's very essential to understand. Because sometimes look, say, people, they say that it is just bhava. You need to have a bhava for the service. But not a mundane sentiments, mundane attachment without any knowledge. That need to be understood. It is the path of reality by which the living entity can attain the transcendental happiness of being freed from three kinds of material miseries. Miseries arising from body and mind, from other living entities and from natural disturbances. Everyone who is conditioned by the material existence, whether he be a man or a beast or a demigod or a bird, must suffer from adhyatmika, bodily or mental pains, adibhautika pains, those offered by the living creatures, and adidaivika pains, those due to the supernatural disturbances, which his happiness is nothing but a hard struggle to get free from the miseries of conditioned life. But there is only one way he can be rescued, and that is by accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of a Godhead. The argument that unless one has a proper knowledge, one cannot be freed from material miseries is undoubtedly true. But because the lotus feet of the Lord are full of a transcendental knowledge, acceptance of his lotus feet completes that necessity. We have already discussed this point in the first canto, second chapter, text number 7. Atma labhante bhava bhagavan stavangarim chayam savidyam matam ashraye. In the previous verse, it is said that one has to take shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. For what? What's the reason? Why one has to take shelter at his lotus feet? No, the previous verse. This verse it explains about the tapastraya or three-fourths of material nature. In the previous verse it said that it throws away the miseries from your life. Why that miseries are thrown away from your life? Because these lotus feet are, as explained here, Savidya Matam Mashrayam, because all the knowledge that has taken shelter at the lotus feet of Lord. The source of Vedic knowledge is at the lotus feet of the Lord. Because the knowledge itself helps you to get rid of these miseries. But unless and until you take shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, you will not get that knowledge. Now what is that knowledge? Atma Labhante, Atmanam Labhante, the knowledge about self. So the knowledge of self-realization can be understood only if one takes shelter at the lotus feet of Lord. And that's the real source of getting out of the miseries of this Adibhautika, Adhyatmika and Adidaivika. So each verse has focused on one particular quality of taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. Why? What is the reason why one should take shelter at His lotus feet? First of all, all sufferings, they are thrown away. Second, why they get thrown away? Because of knowledge. And that knowledge you acquire just by taking shelter at the lotus feet of Lord. And there are numerous examples. If you see the lives of saints, sages or great acharyas, you will understand that they never ran behind the knowledge. But they always render service to the Lord, and knowledge and renunciation ran behind them so that they can accept. As explained in the first canto, second chapter and seventh verse, that Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha. When one renders or gets engaged in the service of Lord Vasudev, then what happens? Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Yad Ahaitukam. Without any endeavor, this knowledge and renunciation, these are the byproducts of devotional service. When one starts rendering devotional service, automatically he gets this, buy one and get two, like that. Get a devotional service, and along with devotional service you will get Jnana and Vairagya. So these schemes are from the beginning, not just now, that buy one and get two free. It's there. If you are desperate to serve the Lordship, then you get a devotional service to the Lord. And that devotional service brings forth Jnana and Vairagya. It's clear? Any doubt? Then further, Prabhupada says, he quotes it from Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter and text number 10. Tesham satatayuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. Empiric philosophical speculation cannot give one relief from the threefold miseries of the material existence. Simply to endeavor for knowledge without devoting oneself to the Lord is a waste of valuable time. Generally, people, they think that if I read so many of spiritual books, then I will get liberated. No. Knowledge, which is essential for the self-realization, is awakened in our heart if we render devotional service to the Lord. So what is the pre-qualification to get the spiritual knowledge? Mercy. Mercy. Mercy of the Lord. How you can get that mercy? By rendering service. Either to Him or either to His devotees. If you do that, you are blessed with the knowledge. Otherwise, we have seen there are so many scholars. But rather than increasing faith in the God, their faith is increased in their own knowledge, which is useless. As Prabhupada says in the last sentence, simply to endeavor for a knowledge without devotion oneself without devoting oneself to the Lord is a waste of valuable time. So it's very hard to make a line in between how much you have to study and how much you have to render service. Again, it depends upon everyone's nature, that they have come along with the previous lifetime. If someone is more studious since the birth, he should seek for the knowledge. But the purpose of doing that, to know about the Lord, to know about this material nature, and to get rid of the clutches, or to understand the science of Godhead. Not just to gather knowledge and be a big scholar. But same knowledge can be attained by the other person who is just from the beginning is engaged in the service. As last time I spoke about the pastime, that once one big scholar, Pandit Madan Mohan Malviya, who was the person who started Banaras Hindu University in Varanasi, he came to meet Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he asked, "I have some questions, Swamiji, and I would like to discuss with you." Then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "Okay, you go and meet my one disciple who is rendering service in the altar. Just help him out and he will give the answer." So Pandit Madan Mohan Malviya, who was really Pandit, he's a great scholar of Sanskrit and as well as Vedic texts. So he felt a little bit uncomfortable that I'm coming to you thinking you as a great scholar of Vedic treatise and great Acharya, and you are just sending me to one of your disciples. That little bit ego came up. But still he followed, because being a sannyasi and he was a grihastha, so he followed the instruction given by sannyasi. So he went to that brahmachari who was rendering service in the deity kitchen. Then he said, "Okay, you help me out to wash these pots, and once I get finished this seva, then we'll sit and discuss about your queries and whatever questions you may have." And he said, "Okay." He accepted, he agreed that. He just sleeved up his arms and he started cleaning the pots for the Lord. And as he cleaned that pots, everything was finished. Then that brahmachari asked him, "Yes, Panditji, so what is your question now? What do you wanted to discuss about?" I said, "No, actually what I was searching for and looking for, I got it. I got the answer of my question. Thank you very much." So he went to the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and paid obeisances and said, "Oh, that's a wonderful way to get a knowledge actually." And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him that, "If you render service to the Lord, your questions are answered. Whatever genuine inquiries or questions you may have in your heart, they get answered by the Lord when you render service to the Lord. No need for jumping around here, going in there and finding the answer. Just whatever service comes to you, just render it and your questions are answered. That's the easiest way to get this knowledge." Because Lord clearly says, "Desham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam tena mam upayanti." He gives that knowledge which is essential for us to go back home, back to God. Hare Krishna. So, any comment, any question?
They can see the past, future, and future. Still, they are also in the suffering.
Because again, they also come under this modes of material nature. No? If you read what it has said, even though they are the controlling deities, but they are under the control of material energy, super consciousness. What is this material energy again? Same, three modes of material nature. Ab Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravarti Narjuna. Whoever asked that.
He knows the future and he is going to the school of the womb, home of the history. And he's still, he's not doing anything for that.
See, Indra, if you get a demigod body, you can't do any karma there. You are finishing your credits. That's why it is said that you have to come back to this earthly planet where you can generate karma through which either you will get a prize credit or either you will degrade yourself. So when the demigods think, they see everything. But few things are beyond their control. Kshinya punya martya lokam vishanti. When they finish their quota, they have to come back to this martya loka. Because martya loka is the place, is the junction from where either train goes upward or downward. So here they have to do that. And that's why Indra, if you read the fifth canto, there he offered prayers to the Lord. He said, oh my Lord, if you have some pious credit in my life now, as of demigod, so please give me birth in Bharatvarsha, where it is spontaneous to render devotional service to you. And only devotional service can save you for everything. Otherwise, that shloka from where you are saying that gopa, kida, he becomes the insect in the stool. There itself sits. Was that, it's that verse starts with in the yam kama krodha sahaja. With birth, this kama and krodha comes according to our previous activities. And that causes us to fall down from Indra to Gopendra, the insect in the cobalt, cow dung. It's very difficult.
Because at the same time,
yes.
Still, they have to suffer also.
Definitely.
That is time is working for them. Not material time, but in the past.
They are controlled by that, no? See, as explained in the scripture, these demigods are Mishra Bhaktas. Even unalloyed devotee also suffers. Why? Because he is in the material world and has a material body. And Prabhupada says, as long as you have a material body, you are destined to suffer. But consciousness, you may suffer physically, but consciousness is so elevated, you will not feel that pain and pleasure. Like Prahlad Maharaj. See, he was put into the midst of snakes. The whole atmosphere was so totally poisonous. But he never felt that. Because he was so much absorbed in the Lord's thinking, he never bothered about other comforts. It's not that because he has taken shelter of the Lord, that's why all these things have gone away. They were there. But he never felt that. Why? He gives the reason. Maha Amrita Magna Cheta. Because my mind is totally absorbed in that. So sometimes when doctor gives syringe, he diverts your attention. And when you are being busy with someone, he immediately gives and takes it away. And you won't feel that. But afterward you feel. When you... Sorry. So its pain and pleasure is felt by the mind, and if that mind is engaged in the Lord's service, then you will not feel that. That does not mean that things goes away. That is there, but you neglect that thing. You never bother about it. Like Prabhupada, he had such a hyper acidity. If anyone has, or anyone has a experience of hyper acidity, you will come to know that what it means. Always burning sensation. It gives so much of discomfort. He had that all the time. But look at him, he never felt like that. Once Harishwari Prabhu, he was telling, they were going to somewhere, Prabhupada supposed to give a lecture, and due to acidity, they stopped car somewhere, he got down and he vomited so much. If someone else would have vomited that much, that person would have laid down for the whole day. But Prabhupada, he went there and he gave class for an hour, then he had a conversation, then he had a meeting. Harishwarya Prabhu was like, what that person is actually? Had such a severe problem but never shown externally. And Prabhupada said, it is there, what to do? Body is doing her job, so I have to do my job. So one thing that we have to understand, we are in the material world. Deha yogina dehinam, so what supposed to destine to get by this body, that will come to you. But whether to get disturbed with that, whether to get carried away with that or not, that thing depends upon you. And if you are rendering service to the Lord, then you attend such a platform where that never gives you disturbance. What is that shloka in the 6th chapter, Bhagavad Gita? Yasmin stito hi dukkhena gurunam api vichalate. When once gets situated there, then whatever big suffering may come, he never gets disturbed by that. And that's why devotees are called as a samachittaha. Their mind, chitta again, see in that mind. Because mind is the cause of pain and pleasure. And if it is samachitta, it is at equal position, then you won't feel. For demigods, this never happens. Indra himself says, oh my Lord, what the life we have got it. You are sitting next to me, but my mind is totally absorbed in Ramba and Urvashi. I have forgotten what's the use of such a wonderful position I may have in this material world. But that makes me forget you. And you remember all the prayers, what has offered by that great devotees. What they always say? Avismriti tat charanarvind. Oh my Lord, I should not forget your lotus feet. They never say that I should remember your lotus feet. They said I should not forget. Means they are always remembering. One day Prabhupada was standing in front of the Lordship and taking darshan. And one devotee asked him, Prabhupada, what you pray to their Lordship? Prabhupada said that I pray to their Lordship that, oh my Lord, your Maya, the external energy is so strong. Please save. Who is praying that? And what we do, what we prayer, do prayer to Lord. We are unconscious about that. When we come in front of the Lord, we don't know what to pray. We are blank. And whatever prayers are there, to repeat that also we are blank. We don't meditate on that meaning when we sing. Generally you should sing with that particular mood. Because here together we are just doing this. But put your mind into that. Then you will understand what we are praying. See the whole day what we are doing. Our day starts with the Mangal Arati. We are praying to the spiritual master. And then it continues with the prayers. Prayer to Narsimhadev, prayer to Tulsi Maharani, prayer to Guru, prayer to Bhagavatam. Then again whole day, prayer to, prayer, prayer, prayer. Because these prayers will develop a mood in us to surrender ourselves to. That's why Prabhupada said repeating prayers is most wonderful thing. And this month of Kartik has a special benefit. Hari Bhakti Vilas says, whoever chants wonderful prayers in front of the Lord, definitely he goes back home, back to God. So, most of the devotees who stays in Vrindavan, they chant Gopi Geet, Venu Geet, Damodarashtakam, prayers offered by Prahlad Maharaj, prayer offered by Dhruva Maharaj. Because this prayer can save nothing else. And here we are reading the prayers of demigods. What they are praying? Taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. Whichever and whatever post you may hold in this material world, unless and until you pray, you can't get rid of this misery. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.